Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
Before we dive into the text this morning, just a reminder. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. And further, let me say, this is the gospel. For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. He shared with us that so we'd all know this. Jesus was not an apparition. He was seen for 40 days, sometimes by as many as 500 at one time. There was strong evidence for his resurrection, as he did not just rise again the third day and then leave real quickly so that only two or three people. No, he wanted to show the whole community, and he still had things he wanted to share with them and teach them that was so important. Today's a great day for you. If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I'd like to encourage you today, this moment, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, having said that, let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. As I was looking over this, I was reminded of my when I was young. And, well, I guess I was in my early teens. We went to visit one of my uncles, actually a great uncle, and they lived in Parthenon, Arkansas. Now, most of you will not know where Parthenon, Arkansas is. Trust me, it is there. There is a place. Now, you have to do a lot of finagling and a lot of moving around to get there, but you can get there. There's Parthenon, Arkansas. And he had a farm on that hillside there. We called them mountains down there, but when I saw the other mountains, I realized, no, that's a hill. When I went to the Rockies, I realized, nope, that's a hill. Yep. It's still up in the air quite a lot, quite tall. But anyway, as we went to visit with him, he said, I think I'm going to get some sheep. And he said, actually, I have some sheep. He said, would you like to see them? I said, yeah, well, not to see his sheep. And I was fascinated by them. I thought, this is really neat. You know, they huddled all around and all that sort of stuff. And we had a good time with it. And he said, I've got a proposal for you. I said, what's that? And he said, I'd like you to take care of my sheep for the next year. I said, really? Yeah, he said, I'd like you to be the shepherd of these sheep for the next year. I'll show you where you're staying. So he took me up, and there was a little cave back up in there. And he said, this is where you'll stay. You know, I want you to keep the sheep in here. He said, we do have problems with, you know, some wolves and some things like that, so you need to take care of them there. I was in love with the idea. I thought, how fascinating to live in a cave all. And he said, the temperature gets a little chilly, but the cave will stay warm if you keep a fire going, so on and so forth. So I went back, and I was excited. Man, I'm going to be a shepherd. This is going to be fun. So I went back and told my dad, and he said, you're kidding. Yeah. He said, you have a hard time taking care of my cows. Do you know what sheep are like? Well, no. Do you know what they smell like? No. What do you know about sheep? Not a thing, but I said, I figure, but by this time next year, I'll know a whole lot. He said, yeah, no, son, I'm not going to let you do that. I don't think you're ready for that yet. That's a big experience. And that just reminded me of what it is to be a shepherd. And last week, I had introduced you to the idea of follow the leader. And I tried to prove to you last week why Jesus is so worthy of following. There isn't anyone like him. There is absolutely no religious leader you can compare him to any place. He's not like anybody else. He's not like Buddha. He's not like Confucius. He's not like Muhammad. He's the Son of God. He does things none of the rest of them can do. And the funny thing is, he created all of them. So today, looking at John chapter 10, I want you to go one step further with me. Follow the leader with abundant life. Jesus is worthy to follow, but let me share with you some of the people you could follow, some of the things you could follow that would not give you abundant life. They may promise a lot of things, but they can't give you abundant life. So let's look at John chapter 10 and verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And let me start with the false and the true. Let's start first of all with thieves and robbers. I love to go back and look at the Greek text and see what it says here. And I was interested to see. I thought, what two words are they going to use to make thieves and robbers? What words are going to be different there? Well, the word that's used for thieves is the word kleptos. Yeah, we get our word kleptomaniac from that. You know, somebody who steals things all the time. So a kleptos steals things that don't belong to him. Okay, the robbers. We are told that Jesus was crucified between two robbers. And I've always thought that's a peculiar thing, that robbery was not a capital offense by a cross. You could lose your hands. You had to pay a lot of stuff back, but not a cross. So why were these two robbers on a cross? And then we read about Barabbas, who was a robber. And I thought, well, I got to see what that word is. So as I looked that word up, I realized this is not the word for a thief. This is a word for insurrectionist. This is somebody who goes for the overthrow of a government by violence. So when it speaks of this, Jesus is saying that there are those who steal that which is not theirs, and there are people who are trying to take a government down by violence. So whoever these thieves and robbers are, they want to take something that doesn't belong to them, and they're ready to overthrow something. And he said, everybody that came before me is one of those. He's a thief and a robber. He was promising things he could not give. And he was trying to overthrow a system that he could not overthrow. And he tells us that what it was, that in order to get into the sheepfold, there's only one way. And people were trying to get them into the sheepfold by another way, by something that was not the door. That didn't belong to them. That was not theirs to give. The entry into the presence of God is not human to give. That's divine to give. That's His presence. In other words, when you have your home, if you invite someone into your home, they're not a thief. But if they come to your home and break the door down and come in and violate you by taking all the things that are there, that's a thief. Jesus is saying, I'm the door. Everybody that came before me was a thief and a robber. They were breaking in where they didn't belong. And they were trying to take something that wasn't theirs. And the robbers were all now trying to break the whole system. We'll get in some other way, like it or not. So as I look at that, I realize that these are those that have spirituality that teach another way to get into the spiritual realm. I'm using the word spirituality because that's a big word today. Among philosophers and all kinds of people, spirituality is a big thing. You ask somebody, are you a Christian? They say, well, I'm spiritual, but not a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian because they don't want to identify with what the organized Christianity's history is all about. So they want you to know they're spiritual, but they do it their way. You know what that's called? Theft. And to continue on with that system in a violent way is to say, I'm going to steal it one way or the other. I'm going to go to heaven, whether you like it or not. Because I want to go to heaven. I'm doing it my way. That's a thief and a robber. There's a second group that there are people who steal lives today. This is, there are two things that this month is noted for. January is, and I'm not sure who all tells us what these months represent, but this month is Sanctity of Life Month. This is time when we remember and thank God for the life that we have. And we remember all the things that preserve that life. But we also become aware of the things that take that life. So in the stealing of lives, human trafficking, and that's the second thing this month is known for. It's called Human Trafficking Month. This is a serious situation where people are stealing lives and stealing their futures, stealing everything away from them and causing them to walk away they don't want to walk. That's violence. And they become these thieves and robbers, just like Jesus was saying. They're not promising heaven. They are taking vulnerable people and promising them that, you know, here's a runaway that says, I don't have a home. I don't like my parents. I don't get along with my parents. I had to run away from home because my family's not good to me. And they offer them something they're really not going to give. They're telling them, we'll give you a home. We'll give you an income. We'll feed you. We'll take care of you. We'll give you opportunities. And they fall for it. And they become the thieves and the robbers to take those people's lives. A huge percentage of them are taken into the sexual business. A smaller percentage are taken into the workforce. And a smaller percentage are taken simply to be used for what period of time and then killed. That's what we're supposed to remember in this month as well. And Jesus was telling us those are thieves and robbers. If I can go and say a second thing. They are the abortionists who are taking lives, things that don't belong to them, and taking someone else's life. That's what we're supposed to remember in this month. And Jesus was showing us here. And no, they're not promising them heaven. I'm not telling you that at all. They're promising them security. We'll take care of your problem. You have this problem right now. You feel like that won't keep you happy. That's not what's going to make you have a good life. We'll take care of your problem for you. Without that problem, then you can go have a happy life again. And they're not taking into consideration the hormonal changes that will take place with that young lady, the guilt that will take place with that young lady, the tension that's going to take place with her. It's cruel. It is cruel in more ways than one. We cannot be a people who cannot see through that cruelty and offer hope, offer sanctity, offer life. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. On the whole bigger plan, what did Jesus say? I have come to give them life, not to take life. And all that came before me were thieves and robbers because they came taking life, not giving it. And we who are their followers, his followers, what can we be except those who want to give life, preserve life, show mercy and grace just like we've been shown? Well, there's a second group, and that second group is known as shaman. Now, you might have said, we don't, that's all superstition and that's all gone now, isn't it? The shamans are all gone. No, there's a grand revival of shamanism, grand revival of it. There are top-notch people that are paying big bucks to go down to the jungles of Peru and the Amazon, and they are paying shaman to give them a new experience, ayahuasca. It is a drug that's terrible to take. It's a horrible, it makes people quite sick, but it also takes them into a new level. There's a whole level of spirituality that they want to enter into there. Let me get to that in just a moment. Let's get a definition of it. The shaman, that's human mediators in relation to spirits who through ritual and mind-altering substances enter into the spiritual realms and teach that knowledge and perform signs. Years ago, a Korean pastor wrote a book called The Fourth Dimension. And with that, he was speaking about how the shaman take people to a new level, into a spiritual level. Well, I read the book and thought, well, that's kind of fascinating, but it's a little, you know, a little too eerie for me. As I began to study a little bit more, I began to understand, especially after I came to understand what the Divine Council is. Once I understood what the Divine Council is, I said, now I know how shaman work. That is simply one of the divine council or one of the angels, one of the spirits that have rebelled against God that get in contact with a human being. And they're saying, I can offer you a new experience. I can offer you the opportunity to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I can offer you an opportunity to get there and see things you've never seen before and become connected in a way you've never been connected before. And then through the use of ritual and through the use of drugs and mind-altering substances, they're able to take them into a new experience. Now, I'm not here today to tell you whether it's a real experience or a made-up experience or it's part of the mind or what. I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't really know how to explain consciousness. So I sure don't know how to explain unconsciousness. You follow where I'm coming from? Hope that wasn't too heady a thing to say there. I'm just simply saying that is a group of people that is doing what Jesus is complaining about, thieves and robbers. They are stealing people's lives to take them into a new experience, and whatever they're experiencing there is real enough, they're living from it. All right? There are also false prophets and false teachers. They're just plain deceitful, and they are thieves and robbers. Jesus said this about them in verse 10. They steal, they kill, and they destroy. Look, kids, he told us one of the ways that you're going to know their fruits is, or one of the ways you're going to know them is by their fruits. So I look at the fruit of something, and I said, what is it that steals, kills, and destroys? Whatever that is a thief and a robber. And that's not one to follow. That's not one to get behind. That's not a good leader. That leader is not going to give me abundant life. That leader, in fact, is going to steal, kill, and destroy life. So as I look at Sanctity of Life month, and I recognize what things steal, kill, and destroy life. Whatever those are, they're not worth following. And they are thieves and robbers who need to be stopped. All right? Let me go on to the next set. Jesus here is talking, and as he's sharing with them about his being a good shepherd, he says in, pick up with me at verse, what I got, 12, verse 12. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and he does not care about the sheep. So Jesus is talking about one of the purposes of the shepherd, one of the purposes of the person who's supposed to be in charge of that sheep, is to keep them from being harmed by a wolf. What's a wolf? Well, let's see if we can talk about that. A wolf is those who hunger for sheep. That's what they're after. Matthew 7:15 calls them ravenous. They are always hungry. They always want to steal sheep. They always want to take the sheep. Acts 20:29. Would you look at that with me just for a minute? Because Acts 20:29, Paul is having the last opportunity he's going to have to meet with the Ephesian elders. And they have been close. They have loved one another. They've cared for one another. And Paul knows he's not going to get to see him again, so he's been given last-minute counsel. What would you tell somebody at the last minute? So Acts 20:29, after he's shown them the things he's done and told them how important it is that they stay true, he says, "For I know this," verse 29, Acts 20:29, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." He said, also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day. He's telling us this. There are those people who are in this world that have a hunger for the vulnerable. They have a hunger for Christian sheep. They have a hunger for people that are following the Lord Jesus Christ, and they seek to destroy them. I don't know if you've ever run across these people, but I have, whose real goal is to just make fun of, destroy the faith of somebody else, beat them up, whatever they can do. I've seen wolves that were willing to fleece the flock, just willing to take everything they could for the flock and then leave. They don't spare the flock. They don't care what age you are. They don't care what gender you are. They don't care what background you have. They're willing to take your life. It's a part of their diet. It's how they live, if you would. So it's those with hunger for sheep. If I can say further, it's those who, with deceit, become a part of the flock in order to satisfy the appetite for sheep. He says this, that there are wolves who come in sheep's clothing. So they come all disguised as one of the sheep. But inside, inwardly, in Matthew 7:15, he says, inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Inwardly, they're after you. Inwardly, they're jealous of you. Inwardly, they don't like you at all, and they'll tear up the flock. A shepherd is supposed to be watching for that, watching for those kind of wolves who want to tear up the flock. There are times we've had people who were like that at the Edgemont Bible Church, and sometimes it's been difficult to deal with. Other times we were able to say, you know, you need to depart. You just need to leave because we're recognizing what you're after is not a healthy thing for this flock. So we've had to do that. And then last, I can just say, they are predators who hate God. Their real deal is they don't like God. They don't like having to submit to God. So they're after those who represent God on the earth, the images of God on earth, if you would. So here we are, the images of God on earth, not made so by our own hands, not made so by our own behavior, but made so by a new birth. We have been born again in the image of the one who saved us. We're born again in the image of God. And because that's what we represent, Jesus had told us very plainly, you are going to be hated. And the wolves are going to seek to take your life. All right. So not only are the wolves, he gave us another person in verse 12 called the hireling. So if you look again at verse 12, here's what it says. He says, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd. All right. So let me just give you three things that I have seen that are hirelings. The first one is negative. The last two are positive. Here's the first one. They volunteered to assist the shepherd for pay. There are those that like social work. They really enjoy helping people. So they'll volunteer to be a part of taking care of the sheep. Now, here's the situation. They love the concept. They love the romance of it. They love the reputation of it. That reminded me of what I was when my uncle is offering me the opportunity to take care of a sheep. I don't know anything about sheep, but the romance of it, living in a cave, then having all this time to spend and getting out there and playing a harp. I don't even know how to play a harp at the time, but I'm sure that when you become a shepherd, or, you know, you get to play a harp. It just happens. I don't know how it happens exactly, but it's sort of an automatic harp syndrome. Whatever. But I was in love with the romance and the concept, but I did not think about what it's going to be when it's raining like crazy. I did not think of what it was going to be when the tornadoes are coming. Didn't think what it was going to be when there really was a wolf, a cougar, a bear. Because that happened to be the country we were in. There were those things there. Now, few and far between, but nothing like a good sheep steak when you're a cougar or a human one, after I got to think about it a little longer. In love with the concept, in love with the romance of it, in love, but not seeing through what it means. They are fearful rather than faithful. As soon as the danger came, they were on the road. They love their own lives. Yeah, the sheep are nice, but when it comes down to sheep or me, which is the most important? Yeah, me. I'm out of here. Okay. The sheep are not theirs. And because the sheep are not theirs, they get annoyed with the sheep. You know, sheep can gripe. It just keeps going on all the time until finally say, shut up, I can't even hear my own harp. Not enough good water. Not enough good stuff to eat. And then, I just feel like being annoying today. And if you're a hireling, that annoys you. You just say, hush. This is a terrible thing to have to happen to me, all right? They get tired of it quickly. It gets old fast. Then after a while, they don't get to caring what the sheep eat. Just eat. That's all. Because to me, it's just a job. That's what this hireling says. And truthfully, they're frauds. Then the second group that's hired is a group called under-shepherds. They're a part of the flock who, loving the shepherd and his sheep, follow the model of the true good shepherd. They're going to be pastors. They know the sheep don't belong to them. They have to be stewards of that. They have to take care of the master's sheep. It's not their sheep, okay? Then the last one, and this is a new category. You didn't find this in the text today, so don't think I'm adding to the text. I'm just simply saying I am recognized as the things that go on. They're sheepdogs. Sheepdogs. That's a term that's become more and more popular as we've gone along here. Even the shepherds and under-shepherds did have dogs that helped them. They had sheepdogs. And it became the sheepdog's job to make sure that everybody stays in the right place and to keep them safe. The sheepdog and the shepherd were going to tackle on whatever predator came around. These are those who sense the danger of wolves and become protectors of the sheep. Where this has become most prominent, most popular now, popular maybe is not the right word to use, but at least well known now, is in situations like we had just down in Texas recently, where one of the security people in the church was able to take out a shooter that was really destroying the flock. And those people are called sheepdogs. And I'm glad that we have people who are sheepdogs, don't you? Now, I know there was that, I think a movie, American Sniper, that the early on he says his dad taught him three. There are three kinds of people in the world. There are wolves, there are sheep, and there are sheepdogs. Okay. He didn't know there's the bigger category was a shepherd, but a sheepdog doesn't. Sheepdogs don't go out by themselves. They usually have someone that they're with. But nonetheless, the point was this. There are people who love the flock of God enough that they seek to protect it. That's what their life is about. That's what they're for. I mean, that's the way they see life. Everybody follow where I'm at? So even though that's not a category that's found in our text here this day, I want you to know that I'm grateful for the sheepdogs we have in this church. There are people who are concerned about the security and the safety of this place. That's a rich gift given to them. I don't know if it's a spiritual gift. I'm guessing that it's probably along the line of pastoral gift, a gift of pastoring, because they do care about it. They just care about it in a different way. Then let's go to the last category. There's the good shepherd, the door. And the good shepherd, that's God's true way to himself. Matter of fact, back in chapter 10 and verse 1, he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Okay. Now, by the door. The way to get to the Father is by the door. Is that exclusive? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But it's not exclusive like I don't want you in. It's exclusive like this is the only way to get in. There's not 50,000 ways to get to God. There's one. There's one door. And you get into that sheepfold through that one door. So the Jesus, the good shepherd in the door, is God's true way to himself. Jesus, the good shepherd, loves the sheep and looks for them. Now, let's just read some of this passage because there's more of the passage than what we were reading. Let's pick up a reading at verse 11. "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep which I have, which are not of this fold, them I also must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself." Now I want you to go back, there's more to that passage, but I want you to go back then to verse 2. Verse 2 of chapter 10 says, But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they'll by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration. It says, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. I'm hoping that we do understand the things that are being spoken because we're living this side of that that he's speaking. They didn't get it at the time, but they did later. John thought it was so significant. John's the one that's telling us that I'm writing the things I'm writing in this book that you might believe Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing, you would be saved. So he included this portion so that you could believe this, Jesus is the Son of God, and believing in him, you can be saved. That's why that passage is there. He's wanting people to know that when you hear the voice of Jesus and you are drawn to that voice, that's because you're his sheep. You're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you, that goes on for eternity. That's not just simply here. One day, some time ago, and I don't know when that was for you, you'll have to decide that yourself. You'll have to be able to tell that yourself. You heard the voice of the shepherd, and that voice of the shepherd drew you out of the craziness of this world. And when he drew you out to the craziness of this world, he loved you. He knew you, and you followed him. And you have been listening to his voice for years. I'm going to tell you, a day is coming for you one day when he will call your name again. And this time you're going to go to a new field. This time you go to the field that's an everlasting field. It's going to be that same voice. It's the voice that you knew when you first came to know what it is to have everlasting life. It's that voice you heard when you first heard about being forgiven. It's that voice you heard that said, I accept you, you're mine, come on home. And that same voice is going to call one day and say your name. And you're going home. Because he is the good shepherd. And you do follow him. That's what it's all about, kids. It's being following the right leader, the one who has abundant life. Listen, if you could follow the others and they gave you a fortune and you lost your life, you did not get abundant life. If you were following teachers that led you all the way to a great fortune here and great comfort here, and you had a wonderful existence, and you died and found out you were not going to live forever, what a horrible thing. So Jesus was wanting people to know, I am a shepherd who gives life, and I give it more abundantly. I can give you more than simply some existence here. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, I give you an existence forever. As soon as you trust me, I give you life. Life everlasting. Let me go on further with you, because there's so much more here. He loves the sheep and looks for them. He calls the sheep and they follow him. He protects, provides, and leads the sheep. Do you understand Psalm 23 is all about him? Psalm 23 is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you read Psalm 23, if I can say it, it's Jesus saying that. He's describing himself. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll not want. I won't lack anything. I'll have what I need. And he's going to lead me. He's going to lead me in green pastures. He's going to lead me beside still waters. He's going to be that one that restores my soul. And when I stick my head in places where it doesn't belong, when I stick my head, I see something green in there and I want it, and I didn't realize that I was sticking my head in a bramble bush, and I come back out of there, my head is all torn up from the brambles. Who do you think it is that anoints my head with oil? He takes that oil and he puts it on my wounded head and binds up my wounds. Can I tell you this? When you stick your head in where it doesn't belong and you pull it back out and you're a bloody mess and you realize, what did I do? I want you to know, the good shepherd doesn't say, told you. Told you. Should have known. No, he anoints your head with oil. He shows you real forgiveness. He shows you real restoration. He's binding up your wounds to heal you, friend. And when you walk someplace you shouldn't walk, there'll be that good shepherd that takes you. You're that lost little sheep, and he takes you up there. And now he's going to do something that you wish he hadn't done. He breaks your leg. Of all the things, why would you break my leg, Lord? Because you have a tendency to walk away. Now, he binds that up, restores that, and then carries you. Carries you. Just like the good shepherd does. And he carries you till you can walk again. And you know what you did with that? You got so used to being with him, you never wanted to be anyplace else again. This is the one, the good shepherd, who will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, sheep are spooky people. They don't like to go all these different places that sometimes shepherds like to go. But in order for a shepherd to take a flock from one pasture, which they've now eaten down, they've pruned that one as far as you can prune it, he walks them over to another pasture that, by the way, he has already gone through and prepared. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. So he goes there, and what's he look for? There's some of that. They'll bloat if they eat that one. Got to get that one out. And that's all in the presence of the bears, the wolves, the cougars, and everything else. They're all around. They're watching what goes on. But he's preparing that table. And now once that table's prepared, he goes back to get them. And as he speaks to that sheep, he starts singing to them just like he's done all along. And they know his voice. So he sings to them. And as he comes up to that place, which is a passage that has all kinds of spooky stuff to it. It's got shadows in it. It's got rocks that stick out. It's a good place for a predator to be. He leads them through that. And he sings as they go in that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. How do I know you're with me? We're in this place of shadows now. I can't see everything I need to see. How do I know you're with me? The voice. The voice. The voice that's been singing to me all along. The voice that I know. The voice that I'm used to. That's what I'm still hearing. And he's going to protect me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to lead me. That's what this good shepherd's about. That's what this good shepherd does. He lays down his life for the sheep. And he gives the sheep eternal life. Do you realize what kind of a privileged position you are in today if you can say enough to say, I am a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ? You've got the best possible shepherd watching over you. Well, let's go on and take a look at the rest of this. The flock of God and the good shepherd. First of all, sheep. We've been talking a lot about sheep. Let me just share this. That's God's view of most people. They're gullible, selfish, unaware, fearful, anxious, defenseless, fruitful, and useful. Is that a description of you today? Let's just take a look at it just for a minute. Sheep can be gullible. They do see green stuff. Green stuff is what they eat. Since green stuff is what they eat, they're liable to eat anything. But sometimes they eat the wrong thing. And eating the wrong thing, it costs them their life. Or it makes them very sick. They're gullible. They're selfish. Well, that's because they're survivalists. They're looking how to survive. They don't have any defenses, so they're not going out fighting anything all the time. So they're selfish in that they're surviving. And most of us would fit that category. Is that not correct? We're out surviving. We're not seeing how we can make everybody else survive. We're seeing what we can do to make sure we've got our own particular families taken care of, to make sure we've got all the things that we need for life. They're unaware. They don't always know what's going on around them. They're not completely aware of what dangers are and what dangers are not. They're fearful. Remember, we used to go to New Mexico to work with a vacation Bible school, a Navajo church. And at times they would take us out into the boonies out there. We'd go back on the reservation. And they took us to a big sheep ranch. And at that sheep ranch, it was funny to watch. We were new to the sheep. The shepherd would stand right by the fence all the time like that, and the sheep would stay right there. If we walked to the fence, it's amazing the radius they would cut. You know, they just all back up. We don't know who you are. Who are you? What are you doing here? And they would stand back in a circle away from us. If we'd move back away from the fence, they'd come right back to the fence again. When it came time to release them, they were going to take them and move them to a new pasture. When it came time to release them, when they did release them, we made the mistake of standing near the gate. Not a one of them would go out the gate. None of them. Because they were afraid of us. We step back away from the gate, out they'd go. But as they did, they'd go to the far side of the gate to make sure they weren't even close to any of us at all. Fearful. Most of us are fearful. A lot of times we'll live more things by fear. Just think with me for a moment. What's kept you from being a greater person all the time if it's not been fear? The fear of failure. What keeps some of you from being able to stand in front of people and talk? The fear. From going on to do something that was really a big thing, something you knew would really be significant, but you chose not to do it because you were fearful. Protective. Because after all, you are defenseless. And as defenseless, to go into new areas that you're not familiar with could be downright scary. So it's safer to be fearful. Follow what I meant? That's the way he sees people. And defenseless. But they're also fruitful. There's something to be derived. There's something he gets benefit from the flock. There's something he enjoys from the flock. And he gets to share that with them, as the whether it's the the wool of the flock, whatever it is. But they're also useful. May I say, he takes delight in his sheep. Isn't that neat? He takes delight in you. Well, let me go on further. In particular, it is those people who respond to God positively. They've gone ahead and said, I agree with you. I want to be with you. That's where I want my life to be. I want to be with you. And they've responded positively. Now, not in this text, but found another text. I'd like to ask you to turn to Matthew 25 with me just for a moment. In Matthew 25, the sheep are those who've responded positively to God. However, there's another group that's mentioned, and starting in verse 31 of Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick and, or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So he recognizes these are people who have responded positively to him. They didn't even recognize that what they were doing was to God, or to the Son of God sitting on the throne. They didn't recognize they were doing it to him. They were doing it to people. But because they were doing it to people, he said, because you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Looking further, he says, Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So when you respond negatively, when you cannot recognize that what you're doing to people, because they are in the image of God, is what you're doing to him also. Because you can't recognize that, you don't say, I'm not going to risk myself. Or you say, I'm not going to risk myself with that. I'm not going to do those things. They got themselves into that mess. They'll get themselves out. That's when he says, that's goat-like behavior. All right. Now let me go on last. Letter C. The flock of God. The flock of God, these sheep are the flock of God because they respond to the voice of the shepherd. They hear the shepherd's voice, they come to him. And because of that, they follow the shepherd. And if you go back to John chapter 10 with me again, I want you to see one other thing that he said about this. In verse 17, he says, "Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." I'm sorry, it was verse 16 I needed. "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." The world is, in biblical terms, divided up into two groups of people. Well, several times it's divided up in groups of people. One, it's divided up into believers and non-believers. But it's also divided up into Jews and non-Jews, Jews and Gentiles. He was here working with his Jewish flock, and they were following him. All he was speaking to was Jewish people, and they were coming to him, and they were following him. They heard his voice, and they followed him. But he wanted to know, "I have other sheep that are not of this flock." Therefore, we include here, it includes more than Israel. It's not simply Israel. It includes the Gentiles as well. And Jesus Christ has us as a part of that flock, Gentiles as a part of that flock as well. And he's going to bring them both together at one time, and they'll have one shepherd. We have one shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just say this one. The good shepherd gives his sheep life. His life, by his life, he gives them life. Now, here's what's important. I want to emphasize this once again. The fact that Jesus lived 30 years needs to be important to us. It's the life that he led that's important to us, because that's what the Gospels are primarily about. They're about the life that he was living. So we look at that life and say, look at that. He was living an obedient life. He was living a faith-filled life. He was living a life in my place. He was living a life for me. He's living my obedience. He's living my faithfulness. So his life is important. And I get life from his life, because that life teaches me how I'm supposed to live. It teaches me how I'm supposed to trust God. It teaches me how I'm supposed to love my brethren. It teaches me what service is. It teaches me how to pray. It teaches me all about my Father. So in his life, he gives me life. But it's not even just that. It's by his providential care he gives them life. His Psalm 23, "Life lived before me, gives me life." Hallelujah for that. That provides for me. But by his resurrection, he gives us abundant life. By his resurrection, he gives us abundant life. Now, I've intentionally put abundant life as the last, because next week it's about abundant life. We're going to explore abundant life next week. I want you to see what Jesus was giving us. And as I've looked this up, there are many, many stories about abundant life here that are told by thieves and robbers. Yeah. People who are telling me how I can have an abundant life. I want to show you something about this. In Jesus, in verse 10 of John 10 again, he said this, "I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly." Jesus is giving life to people. In other words, when you trusted Jesus Christ, the download came to you then. He gave you that life. It's yours to live. It's yours to have, that they may have life more abundantly. You follow where I'm at? It's not yours to create. It's yours to have and yours to operate with. We'll talk more about that next week. But for right now, let's ask this. What flock are you in today? Which flock are you in? Are you in the flock that follows the voice of the shepherd? Or has somewhere along the way a thief or a robber told you something and you followed it? And you think there's another way to get to God. Yeah, this believing Jesus is one thing, but I know that you believe Jesus, you believe he existed, but you also got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do that. Okay. Did a thief or robber tell you that, or did Jesus tell you that? What flock are you in today? And maybe you're here today visiting or whatever else, or just first time, or you've been here for a long time, and you realize finally, my goodness, the philosophy I follow has nothing really to do with Jesus. The philosophy I believe in includes Jesus in part of its words, but it's nothing about living the life of Jesus. I'm still bitter with people. I still get angry with people. That's not that you can't get angry and be bitter as a believer. You sure can, but you got to get over it. You know what I'm saying? If that's what the practice of your life is, then you need to back off and ask, whose flock am I in? Have I been tricked by a thief and a robber? Am I that thief and robber? Am I trying to get there some other way? Am I trying to tell God that the sheep of God are useless? They're silly. They're annoying. They're bothersome. But I sure do love you, Jesus. That used to be a grand distinction being made as a guy said, I love Jesus, I just hate his church. Now let me share something with you. Jesus married the church. He chose the church. I don't know about you, but it's one thing you want to tell me I'm bad. But please don't come talk to me and tell me how bad my wife is. You understand what I'm saying? Is there a way that you can divide his wife from him? Is there a way you can divide him from the Father? He said, I'm putting them all together in one big union. Does his bride ever make mistakes? Yeah. Does his bride ever go the wrong way? Yes. But if you're a part of that bride, then you get yourself to that person that's doing that and you help them get over it. You restore them to the faith. You restore them to wherever they need to be. But you're just sitting around cutting them down and putting them down and hating them or acting maliciously toward them is useless. That's horrible. You follow me, Red? Whose flock are you in? If it's in the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to love the other sheep, as goofy as they are. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise for all that you are. You truly are awesome. No one could have done what you have done. No one could tell a story like this. This is better than fiction. Must be true. And we thank you, Father, for the absolute truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is the good shepherd that has abundant life, and we want to follow him. We recognize, Father, there are many people who've been tricked by thieves and robbers who are becoming thieves and robbers. They are stealing the lives of other people. They are killing the lives of other people. They are destroying the lives of other people. Father, in the name of Jesus, give them room to repent. Show them mercy and grace. And give us humility as we think about it, because before the grace of God, we've been there ourselves. Oh, Father, give us life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us see the good shepherd. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Harmony is what the church is supposed to be. Harmony is the way the universe works. It's in complementary harmony to one another, collaborative work as it works together. That's the way the church is supposed to be. As each one's following that good shepherd, as each one hearing his voice and loving the voice of the good shepherd, it works us all into the harmonious state that we need to be to accomplish getting the gospel of Jesus Christ represented and presented into all the whole Metro East area, that there may be more sheep singing out the praises of Almighty. God bless you today. I hope you got signed up for reading through the Bible in a year. It's going to be important. Be fed. Sheep have to eat. And sheep eat the Word of God. And it's the best thing for your diet. You get all of it that you can. Don't eat a lot of the other junk. You're going to make you kind of sick. You'll get fat and ugly. And we want pretty people in the church. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he is. Thank you for what you're doing in us, that great work. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will minister to us this week, the Holy Spirit, as is needed. Put us in those positions where we get to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and see the joy that comes from that taste of heaven that's given to us. Thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.